You're listening to His Time. It is Thursday, August 6th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend David Weshey from All Saints Lutheran Church in Blairsville, Georgia. Good morning, Pastor Weshey.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you as our guest this morning. Thanks for taking some time to study God's Word with us. Tell us about All Saints Lutheran Church in Blairsville, Georgia.
Well, we are a hidden jewel within the Florida, Georgia district. We are the northernmost point of the district. In fact, I get to go around at conferences and I brag that I've got members in three states. Because where we're located, we're about 10 miles south of the border of North Carolina, and we're close enough to where Tennessee juts in. So I do have members in each of the states, most of them obviously in Georgia, but a good number in North Carolina also. But I'm a pastor of a vintage congregation. We don't use the term older adult around here. Our community is mostly retired folks, but we do have people who vacation here. So either way, if people are looking for a good place to retire or a nice getaway for a vacation, Blairsville is that location to find.
Well, very good. Thanks be to God for all that that He's given you there, the opportunities to gather around His good gifts and to receive His good gifts there in Blairsville, Georgia, for folks in three states. How exciting. Well, we are studying in Acts chapter 28 today. Acts chapter 28, verses 16 through 31. What would you like for us to know about this text as we prepare to study?
Well, it's a very interesting text because it comes at the end of the book of Acts. And as we know, it sort of drops off suddenly. We build into the context of the text, we see that Paul is now in Rome, and it's probably somewhere between 61 and 63 A.D. Before he goes off on his adventure towards Spain. But we get this great beginning here in the text, and as you read that, we're going to hear that he's there. He's still under Roman guard, and the question then becomes why. And you hear in his reading through the explanation that there are reasons why he thinks he's not there. So I think he's trying to get us as the listener, but also those Jewish leaders to respond to that why.
All right. Very good. We're in Acts chapter 28 today, verses 16 through 31. We're studying with Pastor David Weshey from All Saints Lutheran Church in Blairsville, Georgia. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area, or toll free 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 28, beginning at verse 16. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and to speak with you, since it is because of hope, because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you, but we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." All right, so when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. They trusted him a little bit, I gather.
Yeah, and again, the interesting thing there is he's not just under Roman guard, but he's chained to this guard, and that to me is a very key piece, especially as you hear in that second half of verse 20 about "I am wearing this chain because of the hope of Israel," and to me that is the key verse there. And in my mind is, you know, you run, is he a criminal? Is he a risk? Is there an upcoming trial? Is he being considered for execution? Is there some disorderly conduct, protective custody? I really think then as we get to verse 17, where he calls together the local leaders, I think is the true reason why he's there.
After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." Pastor?
Exactly. He's sharing some facts there. Some very critical facts. That's just here it is, brothers. I'm here. I want to express this to you. And I think he's in some ways trying to draw them into the conversation.
"And when they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case." No reason. They didn't have any reason for the death penalty, so they wanted to set him free.
Exactly. He hadn't done anything against the people. He hadn't done anything against the traditions. And as we see throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament, that seems to be where things sort of get riled up. And what is interesting from there is not only has he not done anything against the faith, against the church, against the temple, we see in the next part, even the pagan government has some questions.
"But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain."
Yeah, and again, "I asked to see and speak with you." He says, "I haven't, there's no record of me doing any wrong. Even the pagan government can't find anything that is wrong with me." Sort of sounds some of the reverberations with Christ's trial, where Pilate even says, "I find nothing wrong with this man." And now he seeks to have conversation. "I ask to see and speak with you." He doesn't say, "I want to tell you." "I want to speak with you." I think he really wants to have conversation on this. I think he wants them to hear him out, but I think he also wants to hear their thoughts.
"And they said to him, 'We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you, but we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against.'"
Yeah, which is intriguing. They're basically saying, "We don't have anything against you either." So here is this man wearing a chain where he doesn't know why. The Roman government doesn't know why. Now the Jewish leaders here in Rome are saying, "We don't have anything against you, except this one thing. We hear about this sect, and we know that it has been spoken against." And now we're getting to the crux of maybe the reason for his chains might be a bad thing. But I think it also, we might want to consider that the chain might be a good thing.
Looking at the text up through verse 22, Pastor, anything else we can learn from this first two paragraphs before we go on to the next section?
I really want to point out that verse 20. "For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you. That this is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." Again, I think for the Jewish leaders, the hope of Israel probably is wrapped up that Paul is in chain. He's bound. He can't go out and do and be that voice for the sect that has been spoken against. In some ways, they might be thinking him being in chains is the hope of Israel. And I think Paul is telling us him being in the chains is the hope of Israel because it gives him that chance to have the audience. He gets that chance to speak with them. He's able to call them in. They have to come to him. And it's also that opportunity for him to even witness to that soldier that's chained to him. So what a marvelous opportunity that something we might consider to be negative and harsh and evil, Paul is looking for it as being that instrument that God can use through him to proclaim the word.
Two phrases, two things that I'd like to look at a little more closely. The hope of Israel. The
yes.
Obviously, Paul knows what the hope of Israel is. Do you think his listeners really know what the hope of Israel is?
Well, they're going to find out in a few moments. because as we hear in the rest of the, and it could, you know, it's obviously, again, as I said, their idea of the hope of Israel was bound in the temple. It was mm-hmm. bound in their doing the right thing. And again, that's why they talk about this sect, this thing that is being spoken against, because it's pushing up against what they consider to be the righteous way of life. And so they might not understand it at this point, but again, we know the effective word of God as it is spoken can do the miraculous thing. And it's almost neat that they're inviting Paul to speak. You know, as they might be thinking that him being in chains might be the thing to shut him up. It's almost now as they speak this, they're inviting him. Come on, Paul, tell us. Bring it on.
This chain does. Do you think this is kind of a double entendre? That, you know, that he's been locked up as a prisoner, but is there more to it than just the physical chain?
I think we as pastors look at a text like that, I think we've got to look at what that chain means. I think for us, we might not relate to being a prisoner in this sense of having that chain bound around our ankle. But, you know, think about the chains that we have in our life, chains that we put on ourselves when we speak harsh words. I'm preparing for Sunday sermon with that Ephesians text about the misuse of our words. Sometimes with the way we bind ourselves with our own chains because of the sin, but it's also that which the sinful world puts on us. You know, dealing with an older adult congregation, a vintage congregation, we run through a lot of cancer, hip replacements gone bad, and we run into some of those, and the number of funerals that we have. We run into some of those chains that aren't due to a specific sin, it's just due to sin being in the world. And sometimes those chains are a reminder to us in a negative sense, but I think sometimes it's a reminder to us that we're a slave of Christ. And you know what? I don't mind being chained to Christ.
Indeed. We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor David Wesche from All Saints Lutheran Church in Blairsville, Georgia. We're in Acts chapter 28 today, verses 16 through 31. If you have a question or a comment, now's the time. Give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in Acts chapter 28 today. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Listening to His Time. It is Thursday, August 6th, 8:20 Central Time. We're studying today with Pastor David Wesche from All Saints Lutheran Church in Blairsville, Georgia. We're at Acts chapter 28, verses 16 through 31. Pastor, are we ready to take a look at the next segment?
Sure.
All right. We'll take a look at, I think we're at verse 23. Is that right?
That's what I've got.
All right. Now, are the members of All Saints listening this morning? They should call in. 1-800-730-2727. Now's the time to ask Pastor the really tough questions, right?
Oh, exactly. and we've got a marvelous Wednesday morning Bible study, and they know how to ask the tough questions.
Good. All right, we are at verse 23, Acts 28, verse 23. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved, and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Let's take a look at this. Actually, let's go to the listener lines first. Let's go to Joel. Joel is calling from Blairsville, Georgia. Good morning, Joel. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for calling in this morning. What's your question for us this morning?
The Romans and the Jews in Rome at the time referred to Christianity as a sect.
Mm-hmm.
Was that because Christianity had no official name at the time, or they just didn't recognize it as Christianity?
Oh, good question. Pastor?
Well, they didn't. Well, I think you probably got both of those things going. And by the way, hi, Joe. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Pastor.
I would say both of those things are going on. They're really, you know, you have them being called the way. It's still so new, so fresh. I think people don't quite know what to do with it. And I think it's like with us in our world today, if you've got something that's on that's new going out there espousing their beliefs, we don't know what to do with it, so we tend to funnel it into something called a sect. Now, in some cases, it's right, but as we know in the case of this text, it's not.
Thanks for your call, Joe.
Well, thank you.
God's blessings. All right, Pastor, let's take a look at verse 23. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. So a larger group came to him, and he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God, trying to convince them from the law and prophets. From Moses and the prophets about Jesus.
Yeah, this verse, I think I need to hold up to my people every week. In fact, I think every pastor would love to have this. First of all, there was appointed a day for him. You know, wouldn't we as pastors want to have a day appointed for us for people to come and listen? I mean, wow. You know, to me, that, you know, it's sort of, the posters are put up around town. Come hear Paul, or come see Paul, come question Paul, sort of like what I'm doing right now is, here's the opportunity for people to ask me questions. And the response was just overwhelming, as you read there. You know, they came in greater numbers. And from what I prepared, his lodging wasn't a very easy access place. It was probably like on the fourth story of some tenement. Apartment building. So it wasn't very easy to get to. And so as people came in greater numbers, you know, it was, again, reminiscent of Jesus going into the homes of people where, you know, where that one man had to be lowered through the roof in mm-hmm. order to be healed. And so we get this great reverberation and response to the word of God. And Paul saw an opportunity. I love the way the text says he expounded from morning until evening. He knew he had an audience. He knew that he needed to take advantage of the audience. And what I found interesting was he could have used it to justify himself. Hey, folks, there's nothing wrong with me. But no, he was so impassioned about the gospel that he wanted to share his heart, not about himself,
mm-hmm.
but he saw it as the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And when it says to convince them about Jesus, we all know that it wasn't his words. He would have even said, hey, I don't have the eloquent speech. He knew that his convincing was going to come from the source that he said, from the scriptures itself, from the law of Moses and the prophets.
And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved.
And that's hope for all of us pastors. Again, as we proclaim the word of God, and you know, my wife always reminds me when I come home and I'm bothered about that one person who didn't get it, and I let that just sort of gnaw at me, and it reminds me that even the great preacher Paul, that great apostle, he had those that didn't quite get it either, and it's not a matter of us and our words causing it to happen, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that we are reminded. But we know that if we are faithful to that preaching task, that faithful to that witnessing task, telling about the gifts of Jesus, it's going to have its impact.
And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. So they, Paul had one more thing to say, then they left, disagreeing.
My parishioners probably accuse me of doing the same thing. Pastor, you always have one more thing to say.
Just one more thing.
yeah, just one more thing. But the intriguing thing is, and I think the student of the text will go, okay, why this one more thing? And if you go back and search where it comes from, this same text that he quotes from Isaiah is the point of Isaiah, when Isaiah goes in the temple and sees the glory of God and has that vision in the temple where he gets called, this is the text for his commissioning, his sending out. And we know that Isaiah did not have an easy task as a prophet with the message he had to deliver and the people to whom he had to deliver it to. But then also, this same text comes from the mouth of Jesus in Matthew 13. Where he condemns the hearers that aren't able to respond to the word. It's in the context of the disciples asking about not being able to understand the parables. And so it's also a word that, you know, there is misunderstanding of God's word, and then there's also the lack of understanding of God's word. So it's, again, I think it's Paul's sort of explanation to what has just gone on with the people who heard him, that there were some who were convinced and some who disbelieved. And as they're going and leaving that scene, there they are carrying on the conversation between themselves. Paul's planted the seed, and now the conversation continues to carry on with the word that they just heard. But then, as we hear from the prophet Isaiah, that truly does happen, that there are going to be some who will never understand.
Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Now this is interesting. A heart is singular. Mm-hmm. For this people's heart.
Correct.
It's translated singular. I don't know the Greek well enough to know if it's singular in the Greek, but I would assume that it is.
And I don't these words sound awfully familiar for us today in the condition that we are within our country? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they are words that we need to also be reminded that, yeah, and again, this. And in the sense of what Isaiah was talking about, Isaiah's word was for the kingdom of Israel. And he was going to the ones who were chosen. And it was a singular heart in the sense of their heart needed, as being God's chosen people, needed to be as one in response to God. So there is just one heart. You know, and we say it also from Paul's word, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. You know, it's that oneness, it's that unity. And not only do we see that in our country, but also as a church body. There are many times that we gather together either as circuits or as districts or even as synod. And there are times where we struggle to be of one heart. And we need to be reminded of God's Spirit that has been placed upon us in order to talk those things out, reason those things out, but then fall upon the heart of God and come together.
So this is a corporate thing. This isn't necessarily just an individual thing, but a corporate thing they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and I would heal them.
Correct. You know, I look at just even in my own case of my own singular church that I shepherd. And, you know, when we get into conflict, it usually comes into where there are different hearts. I want to do it this way. I want to do it that way. I want to do it this way. And when all those hearts are in different places, we have chaos. We have conflict. And the church can't do what the church is supposed to do. And it's not until we get ourselves focused back on who Jesus is, get focused back on the purpose of our ministry. And I think that's what Paul is doing here. Paul's expounding Jesus Christ. He's expounding the one thing that unifies us all. And even as, you know, as we go through the book of Acts, it's finally where Jew and Gentile are being brought together. Two different hearts are coming together to be one. And so that the people's heart, instead of growing dull, can be lit anew with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. Anything else from this reference to Isaiah before we go on to verse 28?
Nope, that's all that I've got there.
All right. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.
Yeah. That's not what those Jewish leaders that are probably in that gathering want to hear. But the reality of it is we come to the end of Acts, we are seeing what was mentioned in the beginning of Acts, of Acts chapter 1, of how the word is going to go out. It's going to go out starting in Jerusalem, but it's going to spread out throughout the kingdom. And as we see now, it's going out to Rome. And as we anticipate, we sort of wish that Luke had another book that he wrote so we know what happened to Paul after this. You know, did he go to Spain? What happened to him with his death sentence? You know, what went on? How did he finally release from this place to go to Spain? We don't know any of that stuff, but the reality of it is we've got this broadening circle of the word of God going out, the truth of Jesus Christ, that gospel that's going out, and it sort of concludes this book. And there's a reason we don't have any more books than this, because this sort of sends us out now. It's now this is the reason that this salvation of God is going to go out even to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Wow, what a promise that is to each one of us who might be a little bit frightened to go and share that word of witness to somebody because we're afraid of how they might respond. But God tells us in his word, they will listen.
He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Yeah, Paul wanted this word to be known. You know, he lived there 2 years under his own expense, and he welcomed all who came. He didn't shut his door on anybody. We up here in the mountains of North Georgia, every once in a while we have people knocking on our doors, not only from other denominations, but from other faith traditions. And I try to challenge my people, you know, instead of shutting the door on them, take the opportunity. It could be an opportunity to witness to somebody and proclaim the kingdom, just like Paul did here, proclaim the kingdom of God and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of those people, they need to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in Acts chapter 28?
I just keep going back to that second part of verse 20. That, you know, as I prepared for this time together and also for the sermonette, that verse just, and it's interesting, it sits right in the middle of the whole text. You know, I didn't count the verses, but it sort of sits right in the middle, and to me it's the jewel that's in the middle. And it's that whole sense, because of the hope of Israel, that is why I'm wearing this chain. And I think we, as pastors, as the people, as the laity of the church, we've got to have that same mindset. Instead of letting the things of this world just agitate us, look to it. Look to those chains, those things that sort of bind us. Look at those things as the opportunity, not of the hope of Israel, but of the hope of this world. Because it's our chance to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've had some people that have been marvelous in their ministry. When I've got one member who's been in failing health for 7-8 years now. Every time I go and visit him, he laughs, he chuckles, he's always inquisitive about the word. He could just sort of bemoan his life of all the health difficulties that he goes through. But he always cherishes the opportunity. And I always ask my homebound members when I go visit, I always ask them, would you like communion? And I've yet to be refused once. No one turns that down, because for them, that is their hope, is the reminder of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross, and to be able to receive his very body and blood in with and under the bread and wine. That is our hope, and our hope for our life today, but also as we look to the hope of that eternal banquet with him.
Well, thanks be to God. We have that hope in Christ Jesus. Pastor, thanks so much for being our guest pastor today, helping us study in Acts chapter 28.
I thank you for having the opportunity and privilege, Andy. I just want to hopefully that the listeners that have participated, that may God bless them through the study of this word, and may the Holy Spirit just continue to guide them to see the opportunities where God is at work around them, so they might join and see where God wants them to actively participate in that.
Indeed, indeed. And thanks, Joe, for calling in today as well. God bless you, Pastor, and all the saints at All Saints Lutheran Church in Blairsville, Georgia. Coming up in just a little bit, we have some sacred music to help start off your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.